I was talking about pulling that up, and I totally just Googled it and did not actually click anything.
Balls, a supernatural podcast with Lizzie and Missy.
Happy 30!
Happy 30! We made it! I wish we had a cooler episode. Wow, we're at 30 already? I mean, we're almost through season two, I guess. So that makes sense.
I know. Well, I have a pretty lengthy plot for you, so it should get your juices flowing.
Yeah.
What happened?
Wait, there's a supernatural official Discord server?
What?
So the Discord has 168 members online. I'm about to log into this. 842 hunters. They have a burner phone, the jukebox, stream number one, stream number two, music one, and music two.
What?
Oh no, Abaddon's on.
Oh.
Alistair is also on. No,
get out of
no
there.
Dice. Bobby's on though.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
Drunk Merc is on.
Drunk Merc?
With your wife.
Oh. Okay.
Gay devil child Damien is on. I feel bad if any of these people listen because of... Oh, Meg is on! Meg!
Meg! No!
Raphael? Oh, this is no bueno. Ruby?
Blonde or brunette?
It doesn't say. Just says Google Chrome. Samuel Idler. Satan with a knife.
Oh.
Supernatural plus anime?
Is there a question mark after that?
There is!
Okay.
Shotguns and sass.
Oh.
Sleepy Ash. Just Winchester's on there. Vanilla Coffee is on.
Vanilla Coffee?
Little Pika Pika.
Oh my god.
And Gabriel 417 is on.
Okay.
I'm about to check to the Supernatural Discord, and once we're done.
Gabriel 417.
Oh, I feel like he'd be like, Gabriel 6969.
Yeah. Gabriel, Asian Busty Beauties.
Asian Busty Beauties, Gabriel.com.
What was the name of the porn?
Busty Asian Beauty 6. Supernatural Wiki has a porn part.
Oh, Casa Erotica, that's what it was.
Well, I'll say there's Busty Asian Beauties, Dean's favorite porn franchise.
Yeah.
Features a website as well as print publication.
Oh, they have a magazine also.
Apparently they have a magazine.
Nice.
Casa Erotica.
Mm-hmm.
Appears to show on every pay-per-view across the Midwest. Also used by Gabriel to pass on messages to Sam and Dean or Castiel. And then there's a nice little sub thing that says, Japanese cartoon erotica. Apparently, what? I know what hentai is, but my what is that? It says a popular subgenre of hentai focusing on sex involving creatures with tentacles, often referred to as tentacle porn, a favorite of Dean's.
What?
I learned something new today. Tentacle porn.
Okay.
It's a favorite of his.
How did they know that?
Apparently, in season 12, episode 6, celebrating the life of Asa Fox, Dean says, Jody, you watching some kind of chick flick here? Jody goes, well, Dean, I'm a chick. Dean goes, no, you're a badass sheriff chick. You're not a rom-com chick. Wait, are you a rom-com chick? And Jody goes, are you? And Sam goes, he's more of a animated Japanese erotica chick.
Oh. So that equals tentacles.
Dean's into hentai. Little known fact.
Okie dokie. I feel like everybody learned something new today.
Yeah.
Oh, before we get started, can we just have a little chat about how the internet exploded this weekend with people actually thinking that the Annabelle doll escaped
the from Warren the Warren Museum.
Yes.
Well, I mean, who is watching over the Warren Museum?
I'm sure someone, but she's locked in a case. And if she hasn't tried to escape in the past 40 years or whatever, how long they've had her, I don't even know how long it's been. It's probably less than that. But, or is it like they're dead, so she thinks she can just roam free?
I don't know. Is it like the talisman, some of the stuff that's keeping her in there? So apparently Tony Spera is the owner of the Warren Museum now.
Who's that?
Is
he like a known, like...
He's the son-in-law of Ed and Lorraine.
Okay.
and also the caretaker of Annabelle.
Well, how nice of him.
He apparently, like, posted upon the rumors of Annabelle's escape Friday that she did not. And apparently if she had left the premises, Sparrow would have been aware.
I love the fact that when I went to look at this on the internet, that Snopes got involved and Snopes had to tell you it was false, that she could not get out because she's an inanimate object. And then Zach Bagans on Twitter was like, you know, if Annabelle got out, she'd be flying first class.
I mean,
it just, it boggled my mind that that was like the whole thing that was on Twitter.
It was like, oh, Twitter Annabelle got out of completely erupted over this. This is insane.
It was so funny.
But I feel like the protections on there, including like some of the cards to protect her.
Yeah.
I don't know if those like get weaker as the person who put them on there is dead.
Oh, I don't know.
Or if they have to keep doing it.
I also came across that there are Twitter handles of people who pretend to be Annabelle. So there's one that's Annabelle Bitch.
What?
Yeah. And this girl actually, I think, dresses up like Annabelle sometimes. There was one where there's a video of her at a gas... I don't know if it was her. There was a video of someone dressed up as Annabelle at a gas station. And then apparently there's one called Annabelle Dalla.
Oh, no. This girl definitely dresses up like Annabelle.
She does. Okay. I only saw, like, one thing that she did. I didn't really dive into it.
Creepy AF.
But then there's one that's Annabelle Life. There's multiple Annabelle... Official Annabelle... Update, I saved America, and it has Donald Trump in a coffin and then the creepy Annabelle from the movie. That's another thing, too. The real Annabelle looks nothing like the movie Annabelle.
Oh, no, it's just a Raggedy Ann doll, yeah. Which is, to me, even creepier.
A giant Raggedy Ann doll, not just... She's like
huge.
3 feet tall, and she's got those giant black dead eyes. Like, you see them doing this to you, the big eyes. I just couldn't believe that that was a thing that actually happened. Like, what else is going to happen in 2020 that we think that Annabelle got out of her lockbox?
I'm just reading some of this stuff. 16 minutes ago, Annabelle Bitch wrote, someone tell Chucky there isn't no other bitch like me. Kissy face.
Oh, okay. She's getting in there with the Chuckster.
I think that's a horrible idea. I feel like Tiffany's got a couple things to say about that.
Tiffany will cut a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She's already proven that.
Mm-hmm. But, like, are we going to have thing, like, is next weekend, like, Robert the Doll?
Robert the Doll.
Was somewhere. Like, Peggy escaped Zach Bagans. Like, is this a thing that's going to happen now?
I mean, maybe. I do know that you can buy tiny little Robert the Dolls.
Yeah, don't Em and Christine have a Robert the Doll from And That's Why We Drink?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think I would want that.
Because I saw on... Osborne's Wanna Believe.
Oh, I haven't watched that yet.
That was one of the episodes, and Jack threw a small Robert the Doll at Ozzy, and Ozzy's like, get that shit away from me. Ozzy wanted nothing to do with Robert the Doll.
That's amazing.
I mean, it wasn't even the real Robert the Doll.
Oh, there's...
there's a store. There's a Robert the Doll store.
Oh, no,
oh, there it is.
That's just a bad idea.
The Key West Art and Historical Society is pleased to offer an outstanding selection of unique Robert the Doll themed items such as books, t-shirts, magnets, and of course our Robert doll. No, I feel like that's a horrible idea. Somebody get some hunters in here. They need to shut this shit down.
For real.
Why? Just now. I feel like that's believing something and then it conjuring up a spirit, an evil spirit, and then that just attacks you. So, like, yeah. There's 8 Robert the Dolls now running around.
Right.
One big Robert the Doll, and then a lot of tiny Robert the Dolls.
Like, I just had a picture, like, in Frozen, where there's Olaf, and then there's all the other little snowmen.
Yeah, like that, but, like, evil. Like...
Okay,
and so totally out to, like, kill you.
I just clicked on a picture. This Annabelle doll has bigger boobs than I do.
Yeah, isn't it creepy? There's one of her in a bikini.
Yes, that's what I'm looking at.
Yep.
Uh-huh. It's so creepy. Okay.
I mean, obviously, okay. Dean's into busty Asian beauties and Japanese hentai. I guess some people are into, like, dolls.
Yeah, but Dean wouldn't be because he doesn't like creepy dolls.
He does not like creepy dolls. That would not be his thing.
Even if they had big boobs, I still don't think he would
Even if tentacles were involved.
Yeah, he'd have to put like a bag over her face or something.
She put a bag on my head. Still counts. Oh, man. All right, so should we get into it? No, we've gone off on a tangent.
I like our tangents.
I mean, it's a great tangent, but I'm like, how much are they going to listen to about busty Asian beauties and
Annabelle the doll?
Annabelle boobs.
I'm sure people would. Okay.
Can you imagine like a busty Annabelle and a jacked Robert the doll?
There was a picture of her with the jigsaw guy.
Oh, with Billy.
Yeah.
Billy the puppet. Uh-huh.
Yeah. They were like canoodling.
I guess it's better than like the ventriloquist doll from Dead Silence.
Ugh. Hate that. Blech. I just want to show you that I'm drinking today.
I got my tea right now, but I got a sour monkey afterwards.
I have a Miller Lite, a fine Pilsner beer.
Ooh,
because I have not made it to Southern Tier yet, so ooh. This is where we're at.
Maybe we should just choose a day and just go down there for lunch.
Okay, I'm down.
Get you another Crowler Warlock.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna get a Growler this time.
Yeah.
Go big or go home.
Preach. It's your birthday. Do what you want.
A birthday every day.
Oh great, now every search I come up is Supernatural Dean's favorite porn. Fuck my search history.
Is that your work computer? Because...
You know, I felt like it needed to be on par with my actual computer.
Your Dave computer?
Yeah.
Stained?
Yeah, that one was already fucked. So I figured this one, I might as well take it down with me.
So true.
At least I wasn't searching just straight hentai.
Well, we would just look up porn stars. That's what we would do. Whatever one came into the studio that day is the one we looked up. Okay, do we want to get into some ranks?
Yes. So wait, what are we talking about?
Oh, duh. Clearly we're talking about Annabelle and Dean's fetishes.
So many things.
Clearly we don't have an episode to talk about, Liz.
Little known fact, we're actually talking about season 2, episode 14.
Is that why we're here today?
I think so.
Okay.
I mean, we can keep talking about beers and busty dolls.
We'll see if anybody notices.
But this is season 2, episode 14, Born Under a Bad Sign. And this came out February 8th, 2007. And we actually jump around quite a lot in this episode and location-wise. We cover 4 different states.
And they get there pretty quickly.
Yeah, surprise. Well, Dean. Dean's driving. Dean's not fucking around now.
That's true. That's true. He didn't have time to sit down and watch his busty Asian beauties.
Not in this one, but the next one he definitely takes his sweet ass time.
Okay, so our rankings. They're pretty far apart by like 100.
Whoa, okay.
Yeah. Okay, so Decider.com, she ranked this at 113. Though the first two acts drag, once Sam, who is possessed by Meg, lets loose, the episode is dynamite. Dynamite.
Dynamite.
Yeah.
That's not what I gave this episode, but okay, I accept.
Me either, but you know, to each is their own. Thrillist.com ranked it at 212, which is like towards the end of his list.
I would say he doesn't have as much as she does, right?
Right. He said, scared he committed unspeakable evil under the effects of demon blood, Sam and Dean track clues to figure out what happened to Sam in the weeks he's been away, but it's not demon blood in Sam, it's a demon. Meg Masters. Bobby Meg. Singer. Fucking Meg. Bobby Singer, a hunter and surrogate father to the boys, drives her out. Drives her out.
Drives her out. Well, I mean, it's quite an interesting introduction to Bobby.
Bobby!
Your Bobby.
My buddy Bobby. They should make a Bobby doll. I'm sure there is.
It has like one pull string and just like idgits. Idgits.
Balls.
Balls. Idgits.
I mean, he was, you know, one of his catchphrases is the title of our show, so.
True. Well, he's also, would you say he's your favorite character?
That is a tough one. Because I feel like I have a lot of favorite characters, but each of them, I have different reasons for being a favorite character. He's my favorite father figure character.
Okay, subcategories. I appreciate it. I have like an all-time favorite character, and then I have like favorites.
Yeah. Is your all-time favorite character a main character?
Kinda.
Okay, so it's not Sam or Dean. Okay, so it's not Sam or Dean.
I'll give you a hint. He shows up next episode.
Oh, I know. Oh, I know. I know who it is. Dick. He's such a dick.
He who goes by many names. A man who likes the sweets is sweet after my heart.
We'll talk about that next episode.
Yes.
I had things I could say there, and I'm like, just wait.
Yep. All right, so we cover, four different locations in this?
Yeah. Do you want me to give you the plot?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and real quick, I have an Urban Dictionary. I think this might be one of the last ones I do. Actually, that's a lie. The next one is the last one I'm going to do because I already have it written down.
Okay.
But after that, I think I'm going to get away from that. I might bring back for Cass.
I would say maybe for like some of the main characters, like when we go into like Lucifer and Cass and those kinds of guys.
Yeah.
That's Crowley.
Oh, Crowley. I'm sure there's good ones.
Crowley has to be good. Oh my God. There better be the word sassy in there or I'm going to be upset.
Okay, so this Urban Dictionary of the Week.
Woo!
Our word is demon.
Demon?
And the definition is not what you think.
Okay.
A demon is someone who puts milk in before cereal.
What?
Yep.
That's okay.
That's what it says. I don't know.
That's not exactly how I would think of a demon.
I do not put milk in my cereal at all, so.
I do, but I definitely put it in after I pour my cereal.
Yeah. Well, then you're not a demon, because apparently if you put your milk in first, then you're a demon.
Why would you do that? Then the cereal's just going to sit on top and float.
I don't know. I don't deal well with soggy cereals.
Mm.
Okay.
I eat my cereal too fast for it to get soggy. And then I pour more cereal. Oh, wait. Okay. So wait. Am I like a half demon?
I was just going to say that if you re-pour cereal, like if you pour cereal after.
Because I re-pour cereal, because I don't want to, like, I can't just drink the cereal milk.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's like Count Chocula, okay, then that's fine. But like anything else, if there's some milk left, I will pour more cereal on top of it.
So you're just a halfy.
I'm just a half demon.
You're a half demon. Maybe you're one of those lower ranking demons.
Ooh, yeah. I only command like 6 other demons.
Yeah. Not thousands and thousands of legions.
No, not legions.
Yeah. I like how we tie it back.
Yeah.
Tie it back to previous stuff.
I feel like that's the most tied together. That we go back to. Just because there's so many. Okay.
Okay, so our plot for this episode. Are you ready for it?
I am sitting down and ready.
Can
buckling
you,
in.
Good thing you're not standing up. I have to get closer to my computer screen, even though I have my glasses on.
I took my contacts out to put my glasses on.
Hell, getting old. Okay, so Dean finds Sam, who has been missing for a week, covered in blood with no memory of what has happened. Security footage depicts Sam murdering a hunter. Sam tries to force Dean to kill him before he hurts someone else. When Dean refuses, Sam knocks him unconscious and leaves. He then tracks down Joe at her job in Duluth, Minnesota, and begins to sadistically play mind games with her. But Dean arrives before he can physically hurt her. I'm pausing right there, because that was a creepy-ass scene.
That whole thing was fucked up. When he shows up and he walks in, and he's like, can I just have a beer? And then it just...
Ugh. Yeah, then it gets creepy. Okay.
Then it gets super creepy. Continue.
Well, we will come back to that.
Uh-huh.
Sam again tries to convince Dean to shoot him, but Dean throws holy water on him, revealing a case of demonic possession. Sam shoots Dean and flees to South Dakota, home of fellow hunter Bobby Singer. However, Bobby tricks Sam into drinking holy water in the beer bottle, which I think is ingenious.
That was so smart.
And it ties him up under a devil's trap. After Dean's wound is treated by Joe, he joins Bobby in an attempt to exorcise the demon. Exorcise, not exercise. The ritual.
They're doing aerobics.
Yeah. In their little spandex outfits.
Just all of a sudden, Pamela Pumpkin. We're spraying and we're praying.
It's going to be so much cut out. Okay. The ritual does not work, and Bobby learns that the demon used a binding ritual to bind himself to Sam's body. As the demon frees itself and attacks Dean, it reveals that it is the same demon which has formerly resided within Meg Masters, wanting revenge for their exorcising it. Bobby slashes the binding mark on Sam's arm with a hot iron poker, and the demon is forced to flee, though it is not sent back to hell. To prevent further possession by the demon or any others, Bobby gives Sam and Dean charms to protect against possession and warns them to keep quiet about their role in the hunter's death. Wow!
Yeah, a lot of shit happens.
So much stuff!
Okay, so from the get-go, when this whole thing was going on, did you think Sam was possessed?
I don't think from the very beginning I thought that.
It took me up until him going to Joe.
Yeah. When he went there, then I was like,
the way that he was acting.
He's acting very creepy. Very creepy.
I do have to give it to Jared Padalecki, though, because this really showed his variety when it comes to his acting, just the way that he was able to change his own mannerisms and, like, even facial features.
I completely agree with you. That's one thing I wrote down. He was a very good job acting on his part, especially when he went and accosted Joe. And then when he was in the demon, being possessed by the demon.
What?
I did write down Demon Sam. Is he Salmon now? Yeah, there's Demon.
Yeah.
So then is he Salmon?
I like Salmon better.
Me too. It flows nicer.
I did like this kind of like sing-song game, although I want to know how the fuck Dean lost Sam for a week.
Exactly. They're like tied at the hip and never leave each other's side. So how was he gone for an entire week and he could not find him?
And it wasn't like the last time where he's like, I need some time by myself.
Right. Yeah, there was no like going back and saying if like anything had happened, like they got into a fight and he just walked away or what. It was just,
and Dean was pretty calm, cool, and collected for the fact that he's lost Sam for a week.
Yeah. When he's supposed to be protecting Sam.
Yeah. And I did find it interesting that at some point Sam was like, I'm going to walk that storage unit.
Yeah.
Look at this key I have.
Oh, this looks familiar. Look at this car in here.
I liked when Dean was killing me at that point because he's just like, please tell me you didn't steal this. This shitty-ass, beat-up, junky car.
That's Ava's car.
Was that Ava's car?
It was Ava's car from Hunted.
Oh, yeah. I didn't realize that.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to pretend like I realized it either. It was in my notes on IMDb, so.
Oh.
Yeah.
And then they found that, like, really sticky, bloody knife.
Oh.
That literally, it sounded like, I can't think of Velcro. It's not like Velcro when he was pulling that off.
Yeah. Who just leaves the murder in the car?
And then he took his shirt, rubbed the handle down, and just like tossed it like two-handed, just back in.
Like, first of all, if anybody goes and finds this, like they're not going to be able to see where you ripped it off the carpet.
Like, or how about the fact that you just touched the door or everything else in that storage unit? But the handle on that knife.
Oh, that's the one thing we got to clean up.
Why don't you just take the knife?
Did you see that thing? We're not taking that with us.
I loved how, like, kind of embarrassed/ashamed Sam looked throughout, like, a majority of this. Especially when they go to the gas station when they're trying to retrace his footsteps.
Oh.
And they find out he was, like, chain-smoking and guzzling like a fish.
He's like, what?
And he's just like, wait, this guy. This guy right here.
Yeah.
You're drinking. He's like, what the fuck's wrong with you? You're drinking malt liquor? Dean, I'm pretty sure you drank worse.
In the next episode, he will.
I fucking know! Purple nurples.
Mm.
Come on, what are you, sorority girl?
I was trying to be a sorority girl.
But then also the thing that threw me off is Sam's like, yeah, let's drive down this road. Take the really creepy road that's not really a road with the one light.
Yeah.
That leads the way.
It's all coming back to me now.
I don't understand why, but trust me on this. Well, Sam, you don't know where the fuck you were. You found a bloody knife, you have Ava's car, and you can't remember a thing all week.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll trust you on this one.
I mean, stranger things have happened, you know.
I feel bad for Steve Wandell, though, and I feel even worse when And see, that's one of those things too, like knowing now that he was obviously possessed by a demon, did the demon let Sam kind of peek through and come out during that part, especially when Sam's reading the letter from the daughter?
In my mind, I thought that every time that Dean was with Sam, like when he like, you know, was, he had to go pick him up because he didn't know where he was, I thought that that was Sam. So like the demon kind of, you know how they do like that, go back into the recesses or whatever. Yeah. I think in those parts, and when they were in the hunter's house, I thought that that was Sam coming through.
That's what I thought too, because I was going to say, that was the only part where like, I just don't think a demon could have done that, especially Meg.
Right. Meg!
Fucking Meg.
Just when you think she's gone, and you have a big party for that bitch, she comes back.
I started to realize something was up when they were at the hotel, motel, Holiday Inn.
The fishing motel?
Yes. It was a real catch. Sam was like really pushing Dean to kill him.
Yeah, you don't want to die in the fish motel, Sam.
And I wish from the beginning that Dean would have told Sam everything he had told his dad. Because obviously at the end he goes, I promised him I'd kill you if I couldn't save you. And I was like, you forgot to mention that whole little bit.
Yeah, that's like pertinent information.
Like,
oh, that part just slipped my mind. I'm sorry.
Forgot to mention that I'm actually going to save you before I kill you.
Yeah.
But yeah, I totally told dad I'd kill you.
Oh my God. Oh, and then they say meat suit. I hate that. I hate that whole thing. It makes me want to vomit in my mouth.
So gross. That's almost as gross as the whole interaction between Sam and Joe.
Oh, I'm dancing around it because I don't really want to talk about it because it was that.
Like when he's oh, her and he was talking about how she feels towards Dean, and then when he grabbed her wrist.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And refused to let her go, and she's like, okay, you need to get the fuck out now. You need to leave.
I'm really surprised though she didn't like try to clock him there.
I thought she would have tried to fight him at some point.
Yeah, I thought she would have too.
But she didn't. And then I felt even worse because he totally knocks her the hell out after bashing her head off of the counter and then ties her up. The one that killed me, though, is when he grabs her by the hair and goes, my daddy shot your daddy in the head. I was like, oh my God.
No. No, and then you just sit there and wonder, like, is she actually buying into that? Like, does she believe that whatever he's telling her right now?
Well, I was surprised to hear when she was talking, obviously patching up Dean later on, that she asked Dean, you know, I know demons can lie, but can they ever tell the truth?
Yeah.
And it makes sense that if they do know the truth, I mean, why wouldn't they use it to fuck with your head?
Right.
Which is pretty much what happened here when this demon said that, you know, they basically used her dad, Bill, as bait, and things went wrong, and timing was off, and obviously he got shredded but wasn't dead yet, and John put him out of his misery.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I could see happening if really there was no chance in saving him.
Right. But still hearing it said that way is like, ooh. Because it was more like, your dad wasn't dead yet. You know?
John wasn't the reason he died. John killed him.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't just because there was
an accident,
yeah.
Like, he shot him in the head.
Yeah.
But thank God for Dean busting in and slapping him with holy water.
Slap, slap.
This is one hell of a demon, because that thing took in a lot of holy water.
Yeah.
I mean, it gets slapped in the face with the holy water here, and then obviously tricked by Bobby with the beer, which is phenomenal. Like, I'm about to go get a whole bunch of purified water blessed by a priest, and I'm just going to start tossing it in people's beers.
That was genius.
Only Bobby.
I know. But I thought, though, for a second, like, I don't know if we know this in the series yet, so I could be jumping ahead. Spoiler! But we eventually find out that, like, demons know what you know. Right?
Oh, yeah, because they're in your head.
Right. So if this demon Salmon goes into Bobby's house, wouldn't they have a recollection of there being a devil's trap on the ceiling?
Yes, but he did notice that. Remember when he went in, before he took the beer, he kind of like looked around?
Yeah.
Because he didn't get into the devil's trap until he got knocked out.
But I thought he walked through the living room.
I feel like Bobby's house is like a big circle. Okay. I feel like the rooms are just like the Winchester Mystery House.
Maybe. Oh. I like that. Maybe he like walked around it. I don't know. I must have missed that part.
What my main question is with this too is also, did the demon really think, I mean, Meg has been up against the Winchesters for how many times and how long? Did she really think that by like doing all of this with Sam, it would cause Dean to kill Sam? Because that was the whole thing when they're in that like weird boathouse thing.
Yeah.
And the demon's taunting Dean, saying that all along the plan was for him, for it to push Dean so far that it would end up killing Sam.
Yeah. I don't know. Wishful thinking, maybe?
I don't know.
You would think that she wouldn't think that, because, I mean, we're only halfway through season two, but their track record is, you know, everything else can die, but you can't die.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Meanwhile, I want to know what the hell is the company that makes Dean's cell phone?
It's the Verizon chocolate!
Because he gets shot in the shoulder, which is fine, but then falls into the water, somehow washes up on the other side of the dock.
And his phone works.
And his phone is ringing.
He doesn't even have to put that shit in rice.
No, it's still working.
Just works.
I heard that ring for the first ring, and I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Out of everything in the series, I don't believe that. There's no way he got knocked off into this bay. Mm-hmm. Somehow floated to the other side onto this thing.
To the boat ramp. Like, how does that happen?
And his phone still fucking works.
That must have been a pretty good phone, you know, back in 2000s, probably not.
How much did that burner phone cost?
That was a pretty good phone back then.
Yeah, that thing was brick, apparently.
Okay, and at the end... Oh, go ahead.
No, you first.
But, well, I was just going to say, at the end, Bobby gives them their anti-possession charms.
Mm-hmm.
But when do they get the tattoos?
Later on, I think one of the necklaces gets ripped off.
Okay.
So they decide to stick it on there for good.
Get it permanent, yeah. Jumping ahead a little bit there, but like I know that happens, and I just couldn't remember when it did.
But like I said, thank God for Bobby, because obviously Joe knows. That was sweet too, the little interaction between Dean and Joe when he was taking swigs of the whiskey and she was patching him up.
Yeah.
It was almost like a weird hunter relationship. Like, that's what I picture like coming back from a hunt would be like if you're married or whatever.
So cute.
Although I appreciate, but she never still gives up at the end when he's like, I'll call you. And she's like, no, you won't.
Yeah. But she still gives him that little sly look, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know you want it.
There was a small part of me that at the end, I just wanted him to call her.
Yeah.
Like, ending it with like, hey, Joe.
I'm good. That would have been cool.
But this gave us such a good sign into Bobby, which I appreciate, because obviously we kind of heard Bobby's name every now and then, but nothing really about him. But I mean, this pretty much showed us that he's intelligent,
mm-hmm.
he's prepared, and he is a con man.
You wouldn't think, looking at Bobby, looking at his outward appearance, judging the book by the cover, that he would be like that smart and have that much knowledge and everything. But he does. He's been around.
Mm-hmm. He's like the Q or M to like Bond. He's actually a mix of both, because he has all the gadgets and he has all the information.
Bobby's James Bond?
No, Dean and Sam are James Bond.
Okay.
Bobby is a mix of M and Q.
Okay. I was like, holy crap, Bobby's Bond? Well then.
I appreciate the fact that they give like everyone kind of a chance to exercise demons in this series.
Okay. Take off your training wheels. It's your turn.
Yeah, like, oh, Bobby, you're new. Okay, you exercise. Go.
You have to practice. Practice makes perfect. How are you ever going to exercise a demon if you don't? Well, try it here in my house, in this safe space, where this demon can't get free. Oh, the demon binding itself to Sam's body?
Yeah, with the like that brand. Little mark?
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's insane. I didn't think that was a thing.
No, that scares me that could happen to people.
And I had a feeling when we first saw and it closed up on the brand.
Yeah.
That something was off.
Uh-huh.
Man, they really like burning these boys, huh? Just thought about that with like the mark of Cain and the hand grabbing, raising from perdition. And,
uh-huh. Yeah. Interesting.
But that little tit for tat, like, I want to know if Jared had like kind of go back and watch Meg in episodes to kind of like get her mannerisms.
I was just thinking that too. Yeah, exactly.
Because Jared does such a good job when he's like going back and forth with Dean.
Mm-hmm.
Although I love the fact that just gave something else for Dean to make fun of Sam for. Dude, you had a girl inside you for 7 days.
For an entire Dirty. Week. Oh, that made me laugh.
There it is. Dude, you like full on had a girl inside you for a whole week. That's pretty naughty.
Oh, man. So every time you went to the bathroom.
There's a girl right there.
That's automatically where my mind goes.
Like, ew, but it's Meg, and she was already creepily, like, coming on to Sam.
Ew, oh, I just had another thought.
Don't even. Mm-mm. So if you watch, you go chug some holy water and get that.
You know what I'm thinking?
Say 10 Hail Marys.
Obviously, you know what I'm thinking.
10 Hail Marys, ask for forgiveness.
Oh, it was a thought. It's not going away. Okay. I'm good.
All right.
Are we ready for some random?
Bring it on. Let's do it.
I don't have a lot. Some of it I already talked about. Okay, so our first piece of random shit. Sam is signed into the motel as Richard Sambora. Richie Sambora is the lead guitarist of Bon Jovi, if you did not know that.
Love Bon Jovi.
Fun fact, though, that I did not know. Jared starred in a movie called Cry Wolf with John Bon Jovi.
Okay, so I know the movie only because of Bon Jovi, but I had no idea he was in it. I've never seen it, but now I'm going to go watch it.
Yeah, I had not heard of it either, but apparently it's a thing. Hmm. Oh, and this is totally off subject, but the Hey Ass Butt podcast did a crossover with Supernatural Virgin podcast.
Okay.
And apparently Hey Ass Butt does this thing every month for their Patreon called Let's Shag Ass, and they watch a movie with someone from Supernatural stars in this movie, or is in this movie somehow.
I already got half of that down. That's awesome.
So this past one they did a couple weeks ago. I just listened to it the other day. But they watched Crimson Peak, which I'd never heard of, but Tom Hiddleston's in it.
His butt is also in it.
Yeah, because Charlie Hunnam's in it, and I asked if Charlie Hunnam got naked in it, and they told me no.
No, I mean, he kind of does, but not as much as Tom Hiddleston. And Tom Hiddleston actually told the director that they shouldn't just sexualize women, that men should be as well. So he showed his butt for feminism.
And I appreciate that.
I'm here for it. but Crimson Peak is really good. It's Guillermo del Toro. Who was in that from Supernatural?
Jim Beaver. Jim Beaver.
Oh, shit. Yeah, Bobby was in there.
The one girl's dad. Yeah. Somebody's dad.
I forgot about that. It's been a while since I've seen Crimson Peak.
But I'm wondering if they, I don't know, if they have done this Cry Wolf yet. I'm sure they have. Because Jared's in it. Might have to ask them. I just thought it when I saw that, I thought of like what I just listened to and had to tie it in. Because then there was another, I saw on Twitter, there was another one that that Jensen was in. Like two girls were in it. I forget what the movie was called. But then it made me want to go look and see like other things they were in that like probably aren't good. You know what I mean?
Like, well, I like Jensen. So Jensen was in My Bloody Valentine 3D.
Yes, I love that movie. But this was like, this was a movie I had never heard of.
He was also in 10 Inch Hero, which was hilarious. Have you ever seen 10 Inch Hero?
I have not.
It's hilarious. That's when he kind of has like the green spiky hair with the really long sideburns.
Okay, I've seen pictures of him like that, but I didn't know what that was from.
Yeah, it's basically like kind of like Waiting-ish, but it's at a beach sandwich shop with like a techie, a flirt, a rock star, a hippie. in a Wiccan.
Okie dokie.
And that's actually where he met his wife.
Oh, really?
Daniel's in it.
Okay.
Little known fact.
Yeah, it made me want to go on like IMDb and just find movies that they were in.
Well, for a while, hold on, Jensen Ackles was in Wishbone.
What? Really?
Yeah, apparently he played Michael Duss in Viva Wishbone.
Seriously?
Yeah, I watched Wishbone religiously.
I did too.
What the heck?
He was also in Dawson's Creek.
Well, yeah, that I knew. Oh, yeah, apparently this is a... Ellen befriends a young man who has recently lost his own mother, which causes Joe to wrestle with his jealousy. To help him, Senora Julia, an old friend who is like a second mother to him, tells him the story of Juan Diego, played by Wishbone, of course, and Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Played by Wishbone, of course. This other movie was called Devour from
2005. I've heard of it, but I've never seen it.
It says it revolves around Jake Gray and his friends that have been playing a deadly game called The Pathway, which eventually spirals out of control and threatens a worldwide epidemic of violence. And Jensen is Jake Gray.
Well, then there's also Mask of the Red Hood, Batman, animated. He's the voice of the Red Hood.
Batman.
That's also where his cosplay came in his costume. I think the most I've seen is probably Jared.
Yeah.
Because he was in Friday the 13th. He was in House of Wax. He was in Cry Wolf. So I think those are probably the most movies I've seen of him. That's not even counting some of the big names.
Okie dokie. So I just, that was a whole side tangent.
Sorry.
I was like, I just thought about this, so we're going to talk about it. Okay? Because I feel like it.
I'm just going to make lists and see if any of the listeners have ever seen these movies. Just I'm going to pick a day and an actor.
That would be fun.
How many of these movies from this actor have you watched?
Yeah. Oh,
that's I'm going to do idea. It tonight. I got
do
nothing
it,
else to do.
I'm going to do it. Okay, so the episode title is a reference to a blues song with the same name by Albert King. One of the driving shots seems to be the same footage used in Season 1, Episode 4, Phantom Traveler, with a few digital alterations. That is all Supernatural Wiki.
That's cheating.
No idea what they were talking about, but I say good catch. Sam's cell phone number is 1-785-555-2804. 785 is the area code for Lawrence, Kansas. And I always thought that 555 numbers were all fake. They're like, if you saw a 555 number, that was definitely a fake number that was used for TV and movies. Apparently, though, it's only 555-0100 through 555-0199 that are reserved for fictional use. So this number they used in the television show could be a real person.
Huh.
Phone number.
Has anyone tried to call it? I mean, I feel bad for that person, but...
I don't know, but it could be. And then just my last thing after our long tangent. There were a couple goofs in the opener. I don't know if this is what the Supernatural Wiki was talking about, reusing shots. But they said in the opener, Dean is racing toward Twin Lakes to rescue Sam. But when the Impala passes the Twin Lake road sign before he rescues him, both Dean and Sam can be seen in the car. And as we already discussed, Dean's phone works after he falls into the water, which is, come on, that's not going to happen. He didn't have a life-proof case on it back in 2007.
That didn't exist.
Yeah. And there's another
case. OtterBox wasn't real.
Exactly. Not yet, especially not on your little slider chocolate.
Negative.
My last thing, there was another dead guy that was breathing.
Come on, guys. Hold your breath.
It seems to be a theme that is coming up. Dead guys breathing.
I guess to prove that no one really dies.
Maybe.
I don't think that's what they're going for, but
Just
gave them a reason.
But that is all I have.
All right.
You're up.
All right. So I could have talked about, some talismans and binding spells, I guess. But I did not.
You're going to teach the kids how to do those?
I'm going to teach the kids how to exorcise a demon.
Ooh, Not exercise, exorcise.
Exorcise. So I'm going to talk about demonic possession, which I kind of touched on at one point. But this is going to go a lot more in depth.
Bring it on.
All right. So according to an exorcist, Father Capriano de Mio, who's been an exorcist since 1952.
Whoa.
Typically, a person is not possessed, but generally struggling with mental illness, which is a problem within the church, which is differentiating between possession and mental illness. So before performing an exorcist must distinguish between demonic activity and mental illness. The Vatican apparently first issued guidelines on exorcism in 1614 and actually revised them in 1999. Because I guess, you know, after like 300 years, you should probably revise that shit.
We need a little updating, okay? These things might be getting a little old here.
Quick, Ezekiel, when was the last time we... 1614, no! 1999, oh, we need to fix.
No.
No. Paragraph 1673 says, quote, exorcism is directed at the expulsion of demons or to the liberation from demonic possession through the spiritual authority which Jesus entrusted to his church. Illness, especially psychological illness, is a very different matter. Treating is the concern of medical science. Therefore, before an exorcism is performed, it is important to ascertain that one is dealing with the presence of the evil one and not an illness.
That would be good. To have that clarification before you try to take a demon out of someone.
Generally, especially with what you go through with exorcisms.
Yeah.
One of the biggest telltale signs of possession is discernment in prayer on the part of the exorcist and the possessed, and the possessed person's reaction to the exorcist and the prayer being said, which can include frightening facial expressions, threatening words and gestures, blasphemies against God and Our Lady.
Sorry, I giggled at frightening facial expressions. I just thought of like, oh,
no.
Oh, please don't.
According to the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, superhuman strength, speaking in unknown languages, aversion to holy water, also could include spitting, cursing, and excessive masturbation are also signs of demonic possession.
What? So that goes back to the thing I didn't want to talk about.
Uh-huh. That's how you can tell you're possessed by a demon.
Well, there you go. If Sam starts watching Busty Asian Beauties and
taken in hentai.
Okay.
Other signs of possession include contortions, paranormal capabilities, insults.
Oh no.
Superhuman strength. Blasphemies, unnatural body movements, knowledge of previously unknown languages, speaking in tongues, persistent illness, vomiting, and or vomiting strange objects. I guess like if you puke like across.
How did it get in there?
Also, speaking in tongues is known as glossolalia, and the appearance of wounds that vanish as quickly as they appear. So according to the Book of Revelation, quote, demons are fallen angels who joined Satan in his rebellion against God, defeated and also cast from heaven along with Satan. According to Mark 1:27, they are impure spirits. And according to Ephesians 6:12, quote, the spiritual forces of evil and powers of this dark world are what they call demons. According to James R. Lewis, who is a religious studies scholar, quote, to exorcise this means something along the lines of placing the possessing spirit under oath, invoking a higher authority to compel the spirit rather than casting out, which is why priests say in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and not just telling them to leave. So during an exorcism, priests aren't just like, get out because I said so. It's not like pulling a mother on you. But they're like, in the name of our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we command you to leave this person. So I was curious about actual mentions of demonic possession in the Bible.
It
turns out that there aren't a ton. There are actually only 7 cases that are mentioned pretty much within the books of Mark, Luke, Matthew.
I feel like 7's a lot.
So those would include the demoniac in the synagogue at Capernaum, which was both mentioned in Mark and Luke, Gadarene demoniac, which was mentioned in Mark, Luke, and Matthew, daughter of the Syrophoenician woman in Mark and Matthew, the tale of the demoniac boy, Marky Mark.
That's in the funky bunch.
Yes. The dumb men mentioned in both Matthew and Luke, the blind and dumb man in Matthew,
it's good to differentiate between him and just the dumb man. This was the dumb and blind one.
Yes, don't get them confused. Even though both are mentioned in Matthew. Then there's the crippled woman who was mentioned in Luke, and these usually involved the exchange of personality, an unusual strength, physical illness, seizures and convulsions, moral impurity, and clairvoyance. Generally, when possessions happen, they refer to themselves in the name Legion without actually telling their names. And the term exorcism actually comes from the Greek word exousia, meaning oath. So according to Rosemary Gulley's book, which was published in 1989, the Encyclopedia of Witches and Witchcraft, ooh, quote, there are two ways to become possessed by the devil. One, the devil possesses directly into a person. Or two, someone working with the devil sends a demon into a victim through bewitchment, usually caused by a witch or witchcraft or wizard. So there are actually six steps to exorcism. The first being the presence, which is where the priest will come in and acknowledge the presence of a demon by drawing it out. And knowing that there needs to be an exorcism performed. The second is pretense, where the demon will play the victim, such as pretending to be the injured girl or the young boy, which is usually broken when the priest knows the demon's name immediately. Okay. But obviously it can take some time to figure out which demon you're working with, being that there are hundreds of them and legion.
I'm always going to start with Meg.
Goddamn Meg. I wonder if Meg has a demon name or if somebody just, like, fucked up one day and was just like, yeah, I got nothing else. We got Cass, we got Crowley, we got, what's your name? Ephesius? Yeah, okay, Meg.
Meg.
Sorry.
That's all we got
left.
I'm
not feeling creative today.
I used all of my good names yesterday.
The third step in exorcism is the break point, where the demon speaks to the possessed in a third person. So they're no longer acknowledging the victim, really. They're speaking of him in a third person. The fourth step is the voice, where usually the demon's voice starts to come to head. The person will start speaking in tongues they might not have known before. And then the fifth is the clash, which is usually the battle with the demon and the exorcist. And the exorcist forces the demon to reveal more. And that's usually if they don't know the demon's name, or they will learn the demon's name. And once they have the demon's name, that gives them power over the demon. And then the final step of exorcism is the expulsion, when the demon or spirit leaves in the name of Jesus and the victim is freed and they might not even remember what happened to them.
Oh, that's frightening. I mean, the whole thing's frightening, but then to not remember what happened while it was in you is... I guess you probably wouldn't want to know.
Yeah,
what happened while it was in you. You're probably better off.
So there is a guy named Vincentius von Berg,
ooh,
who wrote the Enchiridium, which is actually an exorcism manual which supplied a list of tests to prove that someone is possessed, most of which are what were aforementioned, which is like holy water, saying a prayer, that kind of stuff. And then I was actually curious because obviously the movie The Exorcist was actually based on an exorcism, mm-hmm, but is actually like a fictional recounting. So a lot of people who have performed exorcisms or who have been through exorcisms say that it's very doctored for Hollywood.
Yeah.
So The Exorcist was written by William Peter Blatty based on a Washington Post article in 1949 about a Maryland boy who had been exorcised. So the true story is that on August 20th, 1949, Roland Doe, which is the name of the boy, I don't know if that's real or not, a 14-year-old boy who lived in the Mount Rainier location, apparently played with a Ouija board And then all of a sudden, scratching stones started coming from the walls.
Yeah.
So kids, don't play with Ouija boards.
Didn't he play with it with his grandma?
Yeah, Granny brought it over.
Thanks, Grandma. You started
Maybe she was possessed.
Oh, maybe.
And he just wanted to open a doorway for more demons to come out. So once upon playing with the Ouija board, scratching sounds started coming from the walls, which then turned into furniture moving, objects being thrown, and obviously the boy starting to exhibit signs of possession. So they actually ended up bringing in Reverend Albert Hughes of the St. James Catholic Church to perform the first exorcism. And during the first exorcism, apparently the word Lewis appeared scratched into the boy's body.
Who's Lou?
Apparently, they think that it tied back to St. Louis, which is where family was from.
Mm-hmm.
And as the exorcism, because obviously an exorcism can take one step, but usually it takes multiple exorcisms to actually expel the demon because you're really breaking down the demon,
yeah.
Which is where a lot of people have this problem because people have a tendency to die because when they're performing an exorcism, you can't eat, you can't drink, you can't do any of that stuff. You're usually tied down because the demon can escape. So Hughes performed one of the exorcisms, and because of how intense it was, he had to leave.
Oh.
Because in the middle, Doe started to speak Aramaic Semitic, which is a biblical language that was only spoken in biblical times. So how would a 14-year-old boy know that?
Yeah.
It's not like Latin where you can learn it in school.
Yeah.
So when this was happening, a bedspring broke out of the bed and actually injured Hughes.
Oh.
So after this, Hughes was never the same. He requested to not continue the exorcisms, but obviously the exorcisms needed to be continued. So they brought in William Bowdern, who was a Jesuit, who actually ended up finishing the series of exorcisms and was able to successfully, quote, exorcise the demon from the child.
So you can just tap out?
I guess like, if you're hit with a bed spring, they're like, nah, I'm good. But everyone said that even after that, to the last of his days, Hughes was never the same.
Yeah. But I'm saying like someone out can start it and then someone else can finish it. You don't necessarily have to be the same person doing the whole thing.
No, and sometimes there are multiple priests or people of the cloth who are in the exorcisms because it is also physically draining on the priests themselves.
Okay.
Not to mention, you want to make sure that the priest is making the proper choice in between the demonic activity and mental illness. You want to make sure that they're kind of covering their butts.
Yeah.
So they usually have more than one person.
I gotcha. Backup.
Yeah. You know, the usual stuff.
Yeah.
Also, because I didn't say it at the beginning, my sources include livescience.com, the Archdiocese of San Antonio, mythaloke.edu, christianity.com, Washington Post, Biblical Demon Possession and Haitian Lawa Possession by Howard Culbertson.
Isn't it interesting to find, like, there's books on these things? You know
there's
what I mean?
There's tons of books. Well, the crazier part is I actually looked up the Washington Post article about Roland Doe.
Yeah.
To see, like, what this could have spurned the exorcist. And it was crazy to read that from, like, 1949. But that's all I got. That's all I got on your demonic possessions.
My demonic possession? I don't think so.
Do you want me to call a priest?
Call Zach Bagans.
Bagel Bites!
Get a bishop. Who's the bishop
Zach
he
Bagans
uses?
Is and his precious.
I forget the guy's name now. He always uses this certain bishop and his sister biker chick that always comes to exercise with people.
Zach Bagans.
Bishop Brian. I forget the sister's name, but she's pretty cool.
Exorcist Bishop Brian D. Ouellet.
Yes. So, does it say the lady's name?
I got his Facebook. He's literally known as the facebook.com/exorcistbishop.
Oh, okay. Sister Mary Joan. That's her name.
Huh. His Facebook's interesting.
Does he have a Twitter?
I don't know, but he's definitely all over Facebook.
Well, I don't have that. Wonder if I just type in Bishop Brian if it'll come up on Bishop Brian.
He also live streams his mass.
Wait, is this really him?
effective immediately, I am temporarily suspending the exorcism outreach ministry until such a time that we may travel and function as free citizens in all jurisdictions.
His Twitter handle is Exorcist Bishop.
Yeah, this has to be him.
Follow. Ooh, Patty.
Done.
Oh, there she is, Sister Mary Joan.
Good old Sister Mary Joan.
Okay.
Yeah, there they are, like, drinking margaritas or something.
Oh, what?
Stuck with Sister Mary Joan in Dallas for a while, so let us toast to another successful case and a family on their way to healing.
Oh,
and they're definitely, like, toasting to something.
Here's a picture of some Glenfiddich single malt whiskey. A little Glenfiddich 18-year-old small batch reserve tonight. Well, Bishop Brian.
Bishop Brian's getting lit. Ooh, lit indeed. That's so funny.
I feel like I want to watch his stuff now. I mean, obviously not right now, but I feel like Bishop Brian drinks a lot. I feel like Bishop Brian is not really exercising.
Oh, they're at a gun range. These guys are living it up.
It says for the old Catholic order of exorcists.
They're definitely drinking rum and coke in this picture.
Is he married to Sister Mary?
I don't know. There they are drinking something in a highball glass. What are you doing?
I'm confused about this, what is going on right now.
I'm quite confused about a lot of this stuff. And all the pictures are the same thing, where it's like Bishop Brian taking a selfie backwards and like Sister Mary Joan with some kind of a menu, like poking her head.
Man, they're cooler than I thought they were.
Dang.
Wait, this says finishing off our anniversary dinner. But are they? I'm so confused right now.
Oh my goodness! Holy moly!
This is a whole other episode of the podcast right now. Just throwing it out
this
there.
This is all the extra stuff
to figure out what happens with Bishop Brian and Sister Mary
and
Joan.
Sister Mary Joan.
Okay, do we want to say goodbye to our friends?
Our staff, Order of Exorcists, Atlanta, Georgia Division.
Oh, wait, here. Would you permit me to ask a couple questions? Is Sister Mary a nun, only she doesn't wear a habit like they do here? And he says, yes, she is a nun. Habits aren't practical for our work.
Interesting.
Okay, well.
No, nope, I mean, distracted.
We spent hours on this, obviously. Okay, do we want to say goodbye to our friends?
Yes. Thank you guys for so much for listening to us on this episode.
Thank you for sticking with us. And we will see you next time.
See you on the next one, where we will be diving into season 2, episode 15, Tall Tales.
A good one.
Which is, to me, hilarious. I don't know. This is definitely probably in like my top 10 favorites.
It's a belly tickler. Definitely a belly tickler.
Just because
tickler.
Of how funny and creative it is.
Yeah, I agree. Okay. Well, thank you,
thanks,
everyone.
Guys. Like us, share us, download us, interact with us on Twitter and Instagram.
Show us the love.
Let us know if there's anything else you guys want to see, please.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Balls, a Supernatural podcast with Lizzie and Missy. If you want more, follow on Twitter and Instagram at SBNBallsPod or email SBNBallsPod@gmail.com. Be sure to subscribe and follow Balls on your favorite streaming service.